Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
They are 100% lying. 100% lying about what Donald Trump said about Liz Cheney. They are lying. They are taking it out of context. This is purposeful, fake outrage. It's ridiculous. Welcome to the show. Glad you are here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Trump did not call for Liz Cheney to be executed or to face a firing squad or to be killed or anything like that. Not at all. Not even close. I'm going to play you what he said. I'm going to play you how the media is twisting this. And it is pathetic what they are doing. Pathetic. Kamala Harris just spoke about it, and she's taking this, and she's lying about it, too. The Drudge Report, shameful of them. Trump calls for Cheney's execution. He did not call for Cheney's execution. That is not what he said. Not even close. He said warmongers like Liz Cheney never face any accountability for their actions. And it's really easy to send people into battle from Washington. It's totally different when you got a rifle pointed at your face. And just so you know, as I retweeted this earlier today, and I think this is a good point, Joey Jones, who you see on Fox News a lot, he's a guy who is a war veteran. This is what he said. As one of the Marines sent to fight your daddy's BS war, I just need you to know, active duty and veterans say this about you and those like you all the time. We are not petty, vindictive, cruel, or unstable. We're amputated, mangled, stressed, and fed up. Because Liz Cheney responded to taking Trump's comments out of context. So here's what I want to do right off the bat, because this is very, very important to do. I want to play you exactly what Trump said to Tucker Carlson. And look, you know me. I would be critical if I thought in any way, shape, or form he should not have said this, or if I think that this is in any way a self-inflicted wound, I would tell you the truth. Like I said, for example, they shouldn't have that roast comic play at Madison Square Garden. I don't think Trump said anything wrong here. Nothing wrong here. The only way you find this wrong is if you take this out of context. So here's the full unedited version of what he said to Tucker Carlson with regards to Liz Cheney. Let's start there. Cut number two.
And I don't blame him for sticking with his daughter, but his daughter is a very dumb individual, very dumb. She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with nine barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face. You know, they're all war hawks when they're sitting in Washington in a nice building saying, oh, gee, Will, let's send 10,000 troops right into the mouth of the enemy. But she's a stupid person. And I used to have meetings with a lot of people, and she always wanted to go to war with people.
They always want to go to war with people. Now, here's how they selectively took that out of context to act like Trump is calling for Liz Cheney to face a firing squad or to be executed. Oh, I'm so hot over this. This is ridiculous. This is so deceptive what they are doing right now. Cut number one.
And I don't blame him for sticking with his daughter, but his daughter is a very dumb individual, very dumb. She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with nine barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face. You know,
So they leave out the whole part. They leave out the following, quote, they're all war hawks when they're sitting in Washington in a nice building saying, oh, gee, let's send 10,000 troops into the mouths of the enemies. She's always wanted to go to war with people. Because this idiot, Aaron Ruper, and there's a number of them who did this, they took it at last night at, you know, 12:40 a.m. and just quoted that one part. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with nine barrels shooting at her. Let's see how she feels about it, you know, when the guns are trained on her face. And you know what really disturbs me about this is that you've got even smart people like Jonah Goldberg and David French. And I understand these people are never Trumpers. I get it. Well, I don't get it, actually. I can't understand it. But I understand you're never Trumper, but you should still be honest. And don't lie. And don't manipulate and don't twist. And Jonah Goldberg's a smart guy. He's a very smart guy. To take this comment by Trump out of context like this and to go with this to push your Never Trump agenda because you think that this could be the moment that finally gets Trump to lose this race. And guess what? It's not going to. It's not going to. But shame on guys like him. Shame on guys like David French. Shame on guys who can't put their Never Trump hatred aside for a moment and just say, this is BS. That's not what he was saying at all. He's saying that warmongers, war hawks, don't face the consequences of their actions. It's very easy to make decisions in D.C. Very easy. Something Jack Carr talks about all the time in his books. The generals never get in trouble. It's always the people on the front lines who get in trouble for their mistakes and their actions. Here is here's cut number four for you. This is a little montage of various number of people twisting all this stuff out of context. Take a listen.
I don't think you even need to call it fired upon. He's saying quite explicitly and unambiguously that Liz Cheney should be shot, should be executed by firing squad.
4 days out from Election Day, and former President Donald Trump is escalating his violent rhetoric, suggesting one of his most prominent critics, the former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, should be fired upon.
Your reaction to what Donald Trump said about Liz Cheney?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, it was completely inappropriate, dangerous, and unbecoming of a leader. Mr. Trump was literally going after someone who doesn't agree with him. No. So it shouldn't be a surprise when people come on TV and feel the need to agree with him.
When he says nine barrels shooting at her, that obviously evokes images of the squad. It evokes images of an execution.
Let's execute a political opponent who happens to be a woman because I don't like her. And, like, does that pull more low propensity voters in his coalition to the polls? I honestly don't think so.
Shameful what they're doing here. Absolutely shameful twisting this out of context like that. And it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me in the least that they're doing this. Nothing they do surprises me. But how shameful on the Friday before the weekend. And remember, I would tell you, if I thought Trump did something wrong, if I thought that he stepped in this, if I thought it was an unforced error, if I thought any of those things, I would tell you the truth. You know that. I'd never lie to you. I always give you my honest opinion about everything, even when you don't like it. I'm never afraid to tell you the truth about anything. He didn't say anything wrong here. There's nothing he said that was inappropriate. To cut off what he said after 10 or 15 or 20 seconds without playing the full thing, to try to pretend like he's calling for Liz Cheney's execution to face a firing squad, is as dishonest and manipulative as the media can possibly get. It ranks right up there with the crap they did with the Hunter Biden laptop. I tell you this all the time, the unholy triad, corporate media, big tech, and the government all working together. While the corporate media is out there doing their thing full blast, they are 100% all in on trying to use this as the October surprise to try to kill Trump on the way out the door. That's what they're trying to do. And it's shameful because there's no way you can hear that full context and think he's talking about anything other than the fact that the people that send our men and women, our sons and boys, our sons and daughters into war in foreign lands have no idea what they're experiencing because the guns are never fired on them because they're in cushy offices in D.C. making all these decisions and then telling everybody to go rah-rah and be patriotic about it. And Trump has been against the Iraq war, the invasion of Iraq, since day one, back when Republicans and conservatives, many of them who you see on TV, used to defend it all the time, constantly defend it all the time. We invaded a country that did not attack us. And we were bogged down in that war for years. And Dick Cheney was the architect of that. And Liz Cheney supported it. And all the war hawks always supported it. And it's easy to do because there is no way you were ever going to face a gun if you were Dick Cheney. Now, if you went hunting with the guy, that's a different story, obviously. And by the way, I got to give credit to my buddy Jimmy Fallon because he at least can find humor in this. When he said if Trump really wanted a rifle pointed at Liz Cheney's face, he'd send her hunting with her dad. Good. Well done. Zay, I'm just too fired up right now to even attempt at humor over this. But no, it's just it's outrageous. It's outrageous to suggest in any way, shape or form that Donald Trump was calling for her execution. They want to stop him because he doesn't want any more wars. This has always been a thing with these people. They tried and came really close in 2016. They were successful in 2020. because of the collusion over the Hunter Biden laptop story. They were successful. They stopped them. And that's not conspiracy theory. That's the truth. Millions of people would have found out about Joe Biden's corruption and his conflicts of interest, and they would have voted for Trump. I really believe that. No doubt. And they're trying to do it again now by taking this this comment that he said and not even taking it out of context. They are deceptively editing it by chopping it off before he explains how warmongers, war hawks make these decisions from Washington and never face accountability. But you know what? The mayor of Michigan, the town in Michigan, that Muslim mayor came out and defended Trump over this. Yeah, he came out and defended Trump over what was said. And good for him for doing so, by the way. Good for him for doing so, because he said Liz Cheney is the kind of person that would send our men and women into war. And he's calling on his fellow Arab Americans to vote for Donald Trump for world peace. That's what he's calling for here. But the way that they are twisting this stuff is really shameful. Here's what do we have Kamala Harris here? Here's Kamala commenting on this. Take a listen.
And then, even worse, he has increased his violent rhetoric, Donald Trump has, about political opponents, and in great detail, suggested rifles should be trained on former Representative Liz Cheney.
Let me play again what Trump said in full context so that you don't believe the lie that is being spread by the vice president of the United States. Actually, he's speaking now. Can we jump in here and take a listen to this? Can we pop this up right now on Fox News? Trump is at a coffee shop in Michigan.
Yeah, 1 second.
Okay. I want to hear what he has to say here. Go ahead. Whenever you got it. We should always just have this ready to go in the last couple of days here before the election.
We just left. In fact, I think he might be here.
He's right here.
You're comfortable with his views on vaccines, Mr. President?
We'll be talking about a lot of things, but he's going to have a big role in healthcare, a very big role.
Is it HHS,
He knows it better than anybody. He's got some views that I happen to agree with very strongly, and I have for a long time. I mean, for years, you and I would we'll be seeing it as a...
What about his views on vaccine and maybe a position at
all
HHS?
All of these things will be talked about.
This meeting is for the community of Dearborn, so please let us welcome Mr. Donald J. Trump. Let me share a couple words for our president, for our future president and former president, Mr. Donald J. Trump.
Yes!
A wise man once said, "Peace is the prize," and I stand before him today. As Arab Americans, we unite against the betrayal of those in power. Our families back home suffer, their cries for help echoing across borders, while the world remains silent. It is time to prioritize our nation's best interests and foster lasting peace for all. This current administration has failed miserably in all aspects of humanity. It is imperative that the Republican Party recognizes the contributions of Arab Americans. No longer will we tolerate the narrative of fake news that seeks to demonize our people. We are proud Americans enriching this nation with our hospitality, education, and hard work. From doctors to humanitarians and poets to politicians, we embody the spirit of resilience and progress. We look to Trump, to a Trump presidency with hope, envisioning a time where peace flourishes, particularly in Lebanon and Palestine, maintaining the integrity of our borders. We appreciate the recent letter regarding Lebanon. However, I can't stand silence when Palestine is being erased. Please help us stop the bloodshed. No amount of money or power should be prioritized over human life. U.S. citizens should decide elections, not foreign entities and biased media sources. We must reclaim the promise of our forefathers, the freedom of speech, untainted by censorship from social media giants. These platforms should serve as the public spaces allowing us to reveal the truths and shine the lights of the injustices around the world. As we approach the next election, let us be clear, the outcome will reflect the ineffective policies and leadership that have put us all at risk. I believe that you will stand up to corruption, fostering peace and prosperity through diplomacy rather than through bombs and bloodshed. I, along with many others, truly appreciate that you made it a priority to visit Dearborn, one of the greatest cities in the United States. It is vital to keep building these connections and strengthening relationships with our incredibly intelligent community, especially after the election. Now, I would like to honor our future president, Mr. Donald Trump, with a plaque on behalf of all peace-loving Michiganders from a quote from Ronald Reagan that says, "Peace is not the absence of conflict, but the ability to handle conflict by peaceful means." Thank you.
Trump's in a coffee shop in Michigan right now, Dearborn, Michigan. They're talking about his legacy of peace.
Look, I know many people from Lebanon, and we have to get this whole thing over with. We want to have peace. We want to have peace on earth, all over, all over. And these are wonderful people, and I very much appreciate it. And being with you in Dearborn is
Thank you very much. It's safe in the hand of Michigan, because Michigan will decide this election, and Michigan is turning around to be a Republican state. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, so it doesn't look like he's speaking anymore. We can jump out of it. Thank you. He, the Muslim mayor of a town in Michigan also came out and defended Trump. I started to mention this to you before Trump started speaking, but the mayor of Hamtramck, Michigan, or Hamtramck, I think. I'm not saying correctly. Anyway, his name is Amir Ghalib. Ripped Kamala Harris for having bloodthirsty Liz Cheney as her top military advisor. I'll play that for you in a few minutes, but it is the only Muslim-majority city in the United States, and he's warning Muslims that Harris and Cheney would send Americans to fight wars in the Middle East. Isn't it amazing how the Democrat Party has become the party of war? And they really have been, if you think about it. They have been. But the fact that you've got Republican, conservative, never Trumpers who are turning around and they're saying that Trump is calling for Liz Cheney's execution, and they're willing to lie about it to stop him, should tell you everything about where they want the Republican Party to go, which direction. And it's always been about the war stuff. It really is not the fact that they think Trump says vile things, or that Trump is doesn't have the decorum to be president, or any of the other nonsense they say. It's not that. It's that these people believe the Republican Party should be the party that invades countries that have never invaded us, that we should be the world's police, that we should be spreading diplomacy, democracy around the world. It's the Bush-Cheney doctrine. We used to call them neocons. And they were the heart and soul of the Republican Party until Donald Trump got on the stage in 2015. And had Trump not run, Jeb Bush would have been the nominee. Most likely, he probably would have won. Or Rubio, who, by the way, back then was also all in on this stuff, back in 2015, 2016. And that's where these guys, the Jonah Goldbergs, the little guy from the Weekly Standard, whatever his name is, Bill Kristol, that's where they want the Republican Party to go. And it's not that Trump says things that they don't like. It's not the stuff that they think is crass. That's not it. That's the cover they use. That's the cover they use to justify their actions. Say, I'm wearing my Travis Manion Foundation shirt today. I don't know if you can see it. I think you can see it on camera. I love the Travis Manion Foundation, but they deal with a lot of veterans who've been sent to foreign wars because of people like Liz Cheney and Dick Cheney and the war hawks of the neocons who never get injured. They don't have to worry about PTSD. They don't have to worry about coming home and reacclimating into society after serving in combat. They don't have to worry about that because they make these decisions from D.C. and then they tell everybody that to rally around the flag and be patriotic as we send men and women, our sons and daughters, into war in a foreign land to spread democracy when they don't even want it. And which is also a ridiculous notion that we could even do that. Ridiculous to the core that we could bring democracy to a place like Iraq or Iran or any of these other countries that simply don't want it. Impose our will on them. But the truth is that the Never Trumper movement has always been that lane of the Republican Party. David French, Jonah Goldberg, Bill Kristol, that Charlie Sykes guy, Michael Steele, who was the Republican National Committee chairman back when the Republican Party was the party of war and invasions and interventionism. That's where they want the party to go back to. And had Trump not come down the escalator, that's where the party would have been in 2016. You would have had two warmongers basically running against each other. It probably would have wound up being Clinton versus Bush. Both of them with the same idea of sending American, spreading, quote unquote, American democracy around the world and using your sons and daughters' blood and our treasure to do it. Trump comes down as the escalator and says, I don't want that. And they immediately try to stop him using every method possible. And it almost worked in 2016. They came really close. And then they tried to bring down his presidency. They tried to topple his presidency with Russia collusion lies so that they could tell the Republican Party, you got to go back to the party that you got to get rid of this guy because he's in bed with Russia and he's a Russian plant and you got to go back to the old way of the Republican Party. And they almost got away with it. The Mueller report, $65 million investigation over nonsense. And John McCain, another great example of that, right? John McCain, remember his little tune he used to sing? John McCain, the exalted great statesman who everybody wishes the Republican Party could go back to the days of John McCain. Remember John McCain just casually singing bomb, 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 bomb Iran at a campaign event? All these guys and these men and women, if it were up to them, we would be in war. We would be at war with Iran right now. We would be at war with Iran. A lot of these Republicans that have tried to stop Trump. Can we jump? Is this jump in here again? I think Trump is speaking again here in Dearborn, Michigan. Can we jump back in here?
Mechanism to
Let's
get
here.
Some new
I know
deals
I'm a little bit ahead of you guys
countries.
Here.
So, anyway, it's in the voters' hands now. And Senator Coons, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
But I think
afternoon.
You're going to ask about this. This Cheney stuff.
He was a Democrat all his life. It's the Kennedy family. He's the first one to do this, and they've lost him, and they're very unhappy about it. And I think they're very unhappy about their poll numbers because she is sinking like a dead ship. And no, he's great. He is a great guy. I've known him a long time, and he's all he wants to do is very simply he wants to make people healthy, and I think that's a good
thing. You were asked about your health care plan.
Now, here's the mayor of a big city. More people should be a mayor like him.
Thank you, sir. Coffee's on me.
Let me have one.
We got to need one.
You can give them some coffee, too. We'll calm them down, right?
You want some coffee?
She can have some.
Is it a big black coffee?
All right, they're jumping out of this. Biden is going to speak in Philly soon. We won't take that lie, but I guarantee you, he's going to use the lie about him wanting to execute Liz Cheney, which Trump did not say. Guarantee it. All right, Elizabeth Pipko is going to join me in a few moments. We'll ask her about Mark Cuban's comments about strong women, among other things, too. So big Friday show for you. We got a lot to get to. We'll come right back. And we're streaming live on YouTube. Join the fun.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. So the question, of course, is how bad did Mark Cuban step in it? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Let's ask one of those strong women who is around Donald Trump all the time. She is the national spokeswoman for the Republican National Committee. She is Elizabeth Pipko, and she joins us now here in Philadelphia. Hello, Elizabeth. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, as always.
As always, we appreciate having you on the show. Yeah, Mark Cuban really stepped in it yesterday, huh? Insulting women like you. A lot of very strong women who are surrounded by Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's just strange. You know, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm sure he didn't mean for that to slip out, but I'm pretty confident that is how he talks about us when the camera's not on him, right? I think it's shameful, honestly. I think it's embarrassing, and I think it's sad because for so many years we've heard about women like me being, you know, not team players and not being feminists and all these different things, and now all of a sudden apparently misogyny is fine as long as you're attacking those who have different political beliefs from you. So I think it's sad. I really do, and it's not even the comment. It's the lack of a response, right? That's the kind of comment that you think those on the left are going to say, hey, I also don't like Donald Trump, but we can't say this about women who have different views. But apparently that is out the window when they're is an election a couple of days away.
Yeah, and it's and to mansplain like that, right? To as they say the phrase mansplain, to turn around to women and say all this stuff, it's just really it's remarkable, and they get away with it. Now he's trying to walk back what he said, but I think the damage is done.
Yeah, I agree. At the same time, a couple of days before that, Joe Biden called all of us garbage, right? So I think the damage has been done for quite some time, but look, the fact is a comedian made a really bad joke at a rally on Sunday, and I'm still hearing about it. But the current commander-in-chief called anyone who votes for a candidate that isn't him or Kamala Harris garbage. And then Mark Cuban, who is one of Kamala Harris's main surrogates, obviously, said that we were weak and stupid if we didn't vote for her. So I think at this point, the fact that there isn't a similar outrage coming should show everyone what that means about the current state of our media, and the fact that they're busier doing the bidding of Kamala Harris and her campaign than doing their job, which is informing the American people, hopefully in an unbiased fashion.
And Elizabeth, I think it's also, let's add this to the basket of deplorables from Hillary Clinton, the time that Barack Obama said people in Pennsylvania cling to their guns and their Bibles. The left has a long history of insulting supporters. You know, it's one thing for a politician to insult another politician. We've been doing that since literally the founding of this country. But the left is really, really dedicated to insulting us. They're calling us names, and they've called us lots of different names over the years. And also they spread this lie that 82 million of us voted for a guy who's like Hitler, too, which is also, I mean, probably the biggest insult you could ever give people in America. They do this all the time.
They do. Look, there's a lot in what you said that I want to respond to. Number one, the Hitler thing, which is so insulting and such a joke at this point. There's nothing about Donald Trump that is like Hitler. And I think the fact that we're saying that, knowing what happened in World War II, knowing, by the way, that anti-Semitism has skyrocketed like it has now, just shows that all common sense, all decency, all honesty is out the window completely, right? I mean, at this point, the fact that we'd even say that and try to impression, by the way, young minds who are impressionable now are seeing all of this, proves that everyone, again, has decided that nothing matters at this point except for beating Donald Trump, no matter what that means, no matter what that looks like, no matter what kind of lies you have to feed to the younger generations in this country who may not know better and who unfortunately are going to grow up now spewing this nonsense because this is what their leaders have told them, right?
Yeah, listen, and unfortunately, it's become accepted now. It's become commonplace to say that about a former American president of the United States of America. And it shows just how low these people have gone. But let's talk about something positive, because I'm feeling really good about things in Pennsylvania. I was on Fox News last night, and I was talking about the enthusiasm that we're seeing. People waiting to do their mail-in ballot voting in person for 2.5 hours. These lines in Bucks County right now are ridiculous. But people are out there, and Republicans are showing up in big numbers. The Democrat numbers are down from where they were in 2020, and the Republican numbers are way up. And there is a feeling of enthusiasm. John Fetterman, of course, Democrat senator from Pennsylvania, coming out and saying that the level of support for Trump in Pennsylvania is astonishing to him, and he's incredibly fearful of it. We know that Senator Bob Casey is using Donald Trump in his political ad, saying that he agrees with him on trade and on fracking. There's something happening here in Pennsylvania, and obviously, if we win Pennsylvania, I think we win the whole thing.
I completely agree. It's so funny, friends that talk to me that want to check in on the state of the election, friends not even around the country, but around the world. The only question that they have for me is, what does Pennsylvania look like, right? Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania is number one, most important for everyone, because they know that that's where the election is probably going to be decided. You mentioned Bob Casey, Tammy Baldwin actually did the same thing. It's happening all around the country, right? It's because people don't want this shift to the left, a dangerous trip to the left, A, and B, because a lot of people believe there's a very high likelihood that Donald Trump is back in the White House. And I think it's funny, all the negativity that people like you and I have dealt with the last couple of years, being told Donald Trump is never going to come back, being told his time is done, being told that, we should all move on and that he's never going to be popular again. And the fact is now Democrats are having to appeal to their own supporters by telling them that they have worked with Donald Trump in the past and can do so again. And he is polling better than he has ever been since first announcing his candidacy for the presidency in 2015. He is more popular right now than ever in his political career. So I think the tide is certainly turning, and I think people are realizing that the only way to put their country back on the right track is to get Donald Trump back in the White House. So I agree with you. I have very good feelings about November 5th, and I'm very hopeful for a bright future for all of us.
And, you know, Elizabeth, I think something else, too, which is that the voter registration numbers in the collar counties of Philadelphia, Bucks County and Montgomery and Chester and Delco, and how the Republicans now have either caught up with the Democrats or eclipsed the Democrats in some of these areas, says everything, too. Because there was always going to be a situation where we had to try to win the part of Pennsylvania, the western part between Pittsburgh and Philly. But we were just kind of written, you know, we wrote off these counties, these suburban counties. And we were told that that's where the threat was. And there's such a sense of people who voted for Biden in 2020 coming back to Trump now, admitting the error in their ways and doing so proudly and saying that, you know, saying I voted for Trump in 2016, I voted for Biden in 20, but I made a mistake. And I give people credit. I had a guy call the show the other day and say that, you know, they literally said that exact same thing. And he's voting for Trump again in 2024 after correcting himself, the mistake he made. There are a lot of people who are saying that, and I give them serious credit. I was talking to Tulsi Gabbard the other day about this, and she said she was at a town hall and asked people if they were former Democrats, and like 40 people in the room raised their hands. They're now Republicans, and they're voting for Trump. That's also something that is incredibly admirable, I think.
100%, and I actually see a lot of that, obviously, because I talk to Jewish Americans daily. I think after October 7th and after the reaction to that day that we saw in this country and around the world and the rise of anti-Semitism that has been, I mean, skyrocketing truly for the last year, I meet people every day who tell me that they are in a place that they can't believe. They're not happy about it, but they are very confident in the fact that the only way to protect all of us moving forward is to vote for the first time for them for President Trump. I mean, it's happened to me almost every day since October 7th. Last year, obviously now sometimes multiple times a day, it's people asking me questions about him, telling me that they now realize that's their only option, telling me that they regret voting for Joe Biden in the past, and that they truly think that the world relies on Donald Trump coming back in, because the chaos we're seeing now around the world is horrific. What we're seeing in the Middle East is awful. For Americans, we pray that they're still alive, are still held hostage, obviously, in Gaza. The war that has broken out should not have happened. 1,200 innocents should not have been killed. What's happening in our country should not have happened since then. And I think truly sometimes it takes something that horrible, right, for people to wake up. And unfortunately, that's where we are right now.
Elizabeth Pipko, my friend, always great to have you on the show. I appreciate your time. Follow Elizabeth at Elizabeth Pipko on all things social media, Republican Committee, national spokeswoman. Have a great weekend, my friend. I'm sure we'll be chatting next week. And, you know, let's go get this.
Let's do it. I'll talk to you soon.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, 855-839-1210. If you want to weigh in on everything we are discussing today, I'd love to hear from you, especially if you are in line in Bucks County, because I know there are a lot of you who are in line in Bucks County right now waiting to vote. I know there's a lot of frustration in Bucks County. So talk to me about it. Let me know. 855-839-1210. All right. Give a call to the show and keep us posted. And I want to thank my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding. EmmonsRoofing.com. 10% off inflation relief discount for you and your family. If you need a new roof, and with winter coming, if you do, well, you're going to get a lifetime warranty on that roof with the Owens Corning, the best in the business shingle. Anderson Window Replacement. doors, new siding, all the things that will give you peace and protection, make your home look beautiful. And with a 10% off inflation relief discount, Matt and Stephanie want you to know they get it. Times are tough. But listen, the work still has to get done in your home, right? So reach out to them today at emmonsroofing.com. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And they're with you every step of the way. I've been using these guys in my house for, well, two different homes now for over 10 years. Did the roof in the old house, replace the windows. In this house now, we've replaced some doors. Just replaced a new kitchen door just a few months ago. They did a great job for me. Replaced my skylights, too. Fixed up some windows that needed to be repaired. They do it all. One-stop shop for you. 10% off inflation relief discount. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Oh, yeah, baby, it's Friday. Here we are, the Friday before the election. Let me tell you a couple things that's going to happen next week. Well, we hope to be able to announce what November 13th is going to be, which I keep telling you to mark your calendar for. I can't tell you what it is, but hopefully by Monday we'll be able to. That's knock on wood. On Monday, I will be leaving the show at 7 o'clock, driving to Pittsburgh. I'm going to do the show from Pittsburgh on Tuesday at Dave McCormick's Victory Party. And on election night, we're going to go live right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. So it's 7. Dawn and Nick are going to join me, and Dom and Opelka and Fela, and we're all just going to kind of rotate throughout the night with election coverage, and we'll have a lot of fun. That's going to be election night, Tuesday night. Now, I personally don't think the polls are as close as they keep saying that they are. I don't. Nate Silver said this, too. Nate Silver went off on a whole tirade about this today. It's funny because Nate Silver doesn't think they're close, and neither does Alan Lichtman. So Alan Lichtman is the guy who's, they call him the political Nostradamus because he's predicted every race except for 2000, although he says he correctly predicted it. It's just that the Florida decision. Anyway, he thinks that Harris is going to win. He uses his 13 keys to the White House. And he thinks that the polling is all being manipulated to present it like it's a tight race. He thinks she's going to win. But he says he's nervous. On the flip side of that, Nate Silver thinks Trump's going to win. And he also thinks the polls are not close and that it's going to wind up being Trump winning 6 out of 7, maybe all 7 swing states, and by a significant margin. Now, I agree the polls aren't that close. And I hope Nate Silver's right and not Alan Lichtman, because I think Alan Lichtman deserves to be wrong here in a big way. But I think Trump's doing really well. Like I said, forget numbers. You throw numbers all day long. The fact that Bob Casey is aligning himself with Trump tells me that his internal polling numbers show how popular Trump is in Pennsylvania. Now, the Democrats are hanging their hope on women voters. They're hanging their hope on the idea that, as Julia Roberts said, go out there and vote, and you don't even have to tell your husband who you voted for. They're hoping that women will come out in record numbers because of the abortion issue and put Kamala Harris over the top. That's what they're hoping for. So that's where things stand on the Friday before the election. And we have a lot of people who are waiting in line in Bucks County, who've waited in line for hours in Bucks County, and people who are still waiting, because as long as you're in line by 5 o'clock today, you're going to be able to hand in your mail-in ballot. Joe is in Yardley. Joe, you're one of those people, huh?
Yeah, I am. I just got home. I left. I got there at 8:30 this morning.
You waited
in Levittown.
Levittown, yeah.
Yeah, 8:30 this morning I got there. It took over six hours to get to the line. You know, unfortunately, one of these situations called out of town for election day. I really wanted to vote. Said, okay, thank God they extended this. But I got a question. I really have to question. Is there something going on here, the demographics? You know, if you look at Lower Bucks County, it's a big flip. You drive around Levittown, Fairless Hills, places like that. Mm-hmm. Trump signs are everywhere. Up where I live in Yardley, Lower Makefield Township, not so much. So it's really interesting that if you look at the demographics in Doylestown, where a good friend of mine is an attorney and he was up there, the wait in Doylestown was 2 hours. Mm-hmm. The wait in Levittown was 6. Mm-hmm. They knew this was happening. I was told by numerous people who've been working the polls for a couple of days there in Levittown that they've been complaining they need more help. They have two printers and 2 people to develop to print out your ballot for you or get it set up for you. 2.
Yeah.
So you mean tell me this is either gross incompetence or it's on purpose. I hate to feel that way, but I really do feel that's the case.
Listen, you got every right in the world to feel that way. It's either it's one or the other, or gross incompetence, or it's deliberate.
Yeah, or some
deliberate hoping that people will turn away and walk away and not because nobody should have to wait in line for 6 hours or 2 hours or 20 minutes from my perspective. No way.
Agreed.
It's unacceptable.
Agreed. Yeah. And there was a woman standing next to me, case in point. For 3 hours, she stood there with me. Mm-hmm. And she finally said to me, I can't take any more time off from work. I got to go. Yeah. So, you know, if you're in a situation like I'm in where I am not going to be here on election day, I have no choice. What am I going to do? I got to do it. Right. So I did it.
Well, I'm glad you did it, Joe. I'm sorry you had to wait that long, but thank you. I mean, thank you for doing it. I really appreciate it.
Oh,
we all appreciate it.
I've never missed an election.
Much.
I'm never going to. I'm never going to miss an election. And wasn't about to start today.
Good man. Good man. All right, buddy. Thank you.
Take care.
I appreciate it. Yeah, no, I'm not going to be in Jersey on election day because I headed to Pittsburgh on Monday. So I voted early, too. And I was going to do it anyway just because I didn't want to be a hypocrite. I've been saying vote early if you can. So I wanted to also do it for that reason. But I wound up, I drove to the Burlington County Clerk's Office in Mount Holly. I got my mail-in ballot. And then I filled it out wrong. Don't ask. It was a local election thing. I made a mistake. So I had to go to the Board of Elections to get a new ballot. And I filled it out and I dropped it off. And it took like 5 minutes. But my friend waited in line at Rowan College for like 2.5 hours. And I have no patience to wait in line. I can't wait in line at the grocery store. You know my attention span. I can't. I can barely sit still. I'm standing. I stand most of the show. You know, I don't have the patience. My ADD, there's no way I could do it. So that worked out well for me. That worked out well. But man, if I had to stand in line for hours, I would have been very unhappy. But I appreciate people doing it. I really do. Now, as far as the lawn signs thing go, I just want to make a point about lawn signs. And it's this. I don't have a Trump lawn sign in my yard, and I would never put one in my yard. And it's not because I'm embarrassed about my support for Trump. I think you know how I stand, but I'm not going to take a sign away when it's really needed in Pennsylvania. They are very hard to get, very hard to get. And if Pennsylvania is where the battleground is, I don't need to show off support in Jersey for Trump. That's my view on it. So I think lawn signs are, they tell a story, no doubt about it. But it's also important to know that they are something they're in incredibly high demand and always very hard to get. And the campaigns allocate those things like any other resource based on where they have to be. So keep that in mind. You know, you might be driving through an area and not see a lot of them and think to yourself, oof, not a good sign. Well, maybe they just couldn't get them. Or maybe they don't want to put one on the yard because they just don't want their neighbors to know. I don't blame people for doing that. I don't blame people for doing that at all. In this day and age with whack jobs, you know what I mean? With the crazies who come after us, we don't go after them, but they come after us. So I know people that say, you couldn't pay me to put a sign on my yard. And I completely understand that, too. So lawn signs do tell a story, but they don't tell the whole story. John is in Bluebell. John, what's up, my man?
How are you, Rich? I introduced my friends in South Carolina to you. They listen. I told them that you are the closest thing to Rush Limbaugh that I've heard, and I am saying that as a huge compliment to you because I have high regard for that man. And one thing that he used to say was, be absurd to point out absurdity. And I, for one, when I hear them have a video where they cut it short and they lie about it, I think we're going to the fight. They're fighting with a knife. We're with a pea shooter. And I think we need to go to that fight with a gun at this point. And I think we need to start just saying, I know we have the moral ground where we stand on it. But at the same time, I could easily just say, I heard from an anonymous source that Kamala Harris said that she hates all Catholics and mm-hmm. that she wants to stop them from going to church. And she also said all the fools that are going to vote for her, she isn't going to reduce taxes. She's going to raise taxes, you idiots. They said it. She said it. I heard someone say that she said it. Let's start to be absurd to show the absurdity that they come out with, have them question us. Oh, no, no, it's just a joke. It was just a joke. Like,
right.
Let's start to really go after them. I'm sick and tired of them.
Well, first of all, thank you for that incredible compliment. That means the world to me. And thank you for turning your friends onto the show in South Carolina. That also means the world to me. So thank you for both things. And yes, absurdity and hyperbole and all those other things are incredibly important tools. I heard about this thing with Trump right before I got on the air, this whole Cheney thing, this distortion. And it's infuriating what they're doing. It really is. It's infuriating. And they have no shame whatsoever, John. And it's very hard to have respect for people like that, who will, even particularly the Republicans who do it, right? The never Trump Republicans who will do that. It's really infuriating. They are bigger scum than even the Democrats, in my opinion.
But I don't think they're winning. I'll be honest.
No, I mean, I don't either.
I know.
I don't either.
I have a daughter that's a freshman at Penn State. We registered her to vote. She sent her vote in. She voted for Trump. My wife voted for. We all did mail in. My dad voted for, helped him to vote. And sent his in. My mom's going to vote on the day. But my daughter went to Trump last week. She's got a lot of friends at Penn State that are all on board with Trump.
Good. Great. Wonderful. That's great news.
And they're voting for him.
John, I got to run, but that's a great way to end the hour with that great news. So thank you, my friend. Thank you very much for the call and for
you
the compliment. I appreciate it. I'm honored by that. Thank you, my friend. All right. We got a big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. We got great guests coming up on the show today, too. We're loaded up, actually. So we're streaming on YouTube. Join the fun. YouTube.com. 1210 WPHT is our page. Mark November 13th. Keep the date open that night. You're going to want to do it. I hope I can tell you why on Monday. Knock on wood. And we'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.